that are mixed of regular our grid and solar power energy. And that was very refreshing to hear. So for those of them that say, no, the unions just want to keep us one step behind, it's not true. That's just, again, you change the dialogue, you attack so as to not to be able to defend. It's a lot easier to attack somebody than to defend what you believe in.
San Juan Mayor's Carmen Yulín Cruz.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Robin Jackson Portland album release with The Call-In Trio on November 11th at 9 p.m. at the Secret Society in Portland. Award-winning singer, songwriter, and multi-instrumentalist Robin Jackson is releasing his second solo record that draws upon the moody spirit of his rain-soaked Portland home to create an eclectic brew of dreamy folk pop, cinematic indie rock, and enigmatic storytelling. The Call-In Trio will also be featured. Again, that's the Robin Jackson Portland album release with The Call-In Trio on November 11th at 9 p.m. at the Secret Society, 116 Northeast Russell Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of KBOO at the Clinton screening of Romeo is Bleeding on Thursday, November 9th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. Romeo is Bleeding is a documentary that follows Dante Clark, a young poet transcending the violence in his hometown of Richmond, California, by writing about his experiences. Dante and the like-minded youth of the city mount an urban adaptation of Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, with the hope of starting a dialogue about violence in the city. PDX Poetic Justice's John Slaughter and his group of poets will be reading some of their works before the screening. Again, that's KBOO at the Clinton screening of Romeo is Bleeding on Thursday, November 9th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is Bill McKibben coming at you on KBOO Portland, Oregon.
Hey, you're back.
I'm back.
Whoa.
And allow me to be the first to say Merry Christmas.
Oh, not you're not the first.
Well, probably today I am.
Well, today.
It's
yes.
Christmas.
Yay!
Why? What'd you get for Christmas? I got some indictments.
Hey, that is a good gift.
It is a really good gift. And we're going to talk about exactly why that's such a good gift.
I think we should.
And why progressives and liberals, whatever you want to call yourself.
Conservative. Genuine conservatives.
Genuine conservatives.
Yeah.
Anyone who values the rule of law, our constitutional system, our institutions, our processes, this is Christmas for everybody.
Yeah, of course, you understand I don't believe that any of that exists anymore, but that's okay.
Well, I thought you believed it never existed at all.
But No. Off and on.
Off and on.
Off and on.
The flickering light bulb of American constitutional democracy?
Exactly. I mean, that's a very good analogy.
Yeah, thank you. Or a metaphor. Whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah, okay.
What's the difference between an analogy and a metaphor?
There's a difference.
Never mind.
Wait.
Don't you have to do this? So you have to say this is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show.
Yeah, I guess
show.
We do have to say that.
And this is KBOO 90.7 on your FM dial here in Portland, Oregon. And this is a talk show. And Abe's back. And it's really nice to have him back. And you should call us 231-8187 to participate in the conversation.
Yeah, we have a lot to get to today.
Yeah, and you who are wanting to call, you're going to have to be a little patient because it's a lot.
Yeah, indeed.
A lot to reveal.
All right, so unless you've been hiding under a rock, you probably heard the news now that two indictments have been handed down in the ongoing FBI investigation into possible collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia.
Right.
To affect the outcome of last year's election.
Right.
All right. Now, there's a lot of dissent out there in the progressive community about exactly how much this matters or if indeed it matters at all. I'm here to tell you right now that it matters a lot.
Okay.
And I've also heard many members of the progressive community say that the Russia scandal is being used as an excuse to paper over the shortcomings of Hillary Clinton as a presidential candidate. I also think that's a non-starter.
I think it's silly.
It actually is silly. What happened is, apparently, allegedly...
Hmm. Wait, there's a third indictment. You're going to get to that.
I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
The Republican nominee for president, Donald Trump, actively colluded with a foreign power to influence the outcome of an American election. This is unprecedented in our history, and it is a big, big deal. And if you value any of the things we talked about a moment ago, our processes, our institutions, our system, then everything possible needs to be done to first bring this to light and make sure, secondly, that it never happens again.
Well, and I want to add, I'm going to be, after you talk a little bit about what happened, I am going to be talking about some of the things that are already happening under the horrible Trump administration to the environment.
Indeed. So, Mueller has handed down two indictments this week. First was Paul Manafort, the former campaign advisor to the president, and his deputy, a man named Richard Gates.
Yes.
Those two people received indictments in Mueller's investigation.
It's called Me Too Gates.
Yeah, Me Too Gates. Also, it was revealed that a third individual, George Papadopoulos, another close confidant of the campaign, was secretly arrested.
Yes.
Back in July.
Yeah, July 27th.
And since then, apparently has been singing like a canary about everything that went on during the campaign.
I wonder if he hasn't been wearing a wire.
That's entirely possible.
Yeah.
It's going to be fascinating as the details of all of this come forward.
Yes.
Right, you can, American conspiracy theory nuts, this is just grist for your mill, all this stuff right here. So Mueller was indicted on charges not pertaining directly.
You mean Manafort?
Manafort, excuse me.
Yeah.
Indicted on charges not pertaining directly to collusion with the Russians. He was indicted on financial charges, essentially, money laundering, tax fraud.
And being slime.
Being a slime, yes. But he is still, has been, and continues to be, neck deep in contact with the Russians. His personal dealings with the corrupt Ukrainian government, for example, predate his involvement with either the Trump campaign or its collusion with the Russians by many years. This guy is a slimy international political operative for hire, whom Trump, in his infinite wisdom and judgment, decided to hire to run part of his campaign.
Makes perfect sense.
Makes perfect sense. Yet an observer here is left in it unmistakably with the sensation that the noose is tightening around the Trump administration. These are the first, I'm mixing metaphors, first dominoes to fall. The sharks are circling. Pick your metaphor. This, I think, is the beginning of the end. The next indictments to come, and there's been some speculation on who those people will be, I think will move this investigation even closer to the White House.
Well, and here's the thing I'm going to say now, and I'll come back to it. I'm afraid, I'm really afraid that it doesn't matter.
Oh, I think it very much matters.
I think we've gone beyond the rule of law. I think we're outside that. I think we're in the world of dictatorial government.
Oh, well, that's absolutely true.
Well.
Certainly. But yeah, this is a way to muscle us back into the, rule of law.
Trump can let everybody go.
Trump can let everybody go. That will precipitate a constitutional crisis.
Yes. Yeah, so
one might convincingly argue we're already in the midst of a constitutional crisis.
Yeah. You show me a constitution, I'll show you something that'll burn.
Wow.
I'm bitter.
You're bitter.
I'm bitter.
You're bitter. So this is pretty exciting for people who dislike this president and want to see him go. And I count myself among them.
You don't like Trump?
Yeah, there's so many reasons not to like this guy. Not the least of which is that he is bad for a representative democracy. His utterances, his actions are corrosive to the rule of law and to democratic institutions, not only here, but around the world. This is a guy who threatens nuclear war with an unstable dictator over Twitter.
And he himself is the guy who's so scary, the idea that he has the so-called football, that he can just push a button and the world is plunged into fire.
He's on record during the campaign as talking about how much he loves war, particularly nuclear war.
Which he knows nothing about.
If you don't believe me, do a search on YouTube. You can watch the man say the words. I love war. So there are many, many reasons why this guy is unfit to be president, why his every second he remains in his office undermines all the things that we have come to take for granted over so many years.
Yeah, and if we have time later, I'm going to talk about some of the environmental disasters.
Well, I think we should talk about that right now because that falls under why is this guy bad?
All right, I'm ready for that. Okay, first of all, here in the Science Times part of the New York Times today, we discover that the Trump administration is removing the protection from the federal protection from the fishing Pacific Marine reserves, and in doing so, they can be fished and eventually fished out, and all the cool little animals that are there, and all the necessities of natural life in the Pacific Ocean, already endangered in a variety of ways, will be further endangered as people rush to make money off of the fishes, which are no longer to be protected. That's just one example. There's so many other examples. My most angry one is the fact that the the Dow Chemical is being allowed by this administration to continue to let people use and urging people to use deadly poisons that will and do, in fact, affect the very brains of children, of the unborn and the born, that you and I actually already have in our bloodstreams, these toxins, which were, by the way, just so we don't forget it, developed as nerve gases by the Nazis.
And were also slated to be banned by the Obama administration.
Yeah, they were to be gone, and now this has been reversed because Trump knows no capitalist corporate structure that he does not wish to initiate a intimate relationship with. A little awkward, but I can't say, you know.
Yeah. It also is indicative, I think, of the contempt in which he holds virtually everybody who's not part of his inner circle.
Well, and also indicative of the stupidity. This is not only is he egotistical, not only is he psychotic, not only is he all about himself and nothing else, but he also is ignorant. He is not a clever dictator. He is an ignorant fella.
Yeah, I would most definitely agree with that. All you have to do is listen to the man speak or listen to what he tweets. Now, you said a moment ago that you don't think this matters.
I'm exaggerating for drama. What I think is that he's going to survive this. I'm afraid that there is such a backlash of misunderstanding and anger on the part of working people in the United States. And I really think this is a terribly important thing. It's almost the elephant in the room, the racism in America that allows people to ignore any kind of obvious truths about someone like Trump just so they can have a white god to worship. And I think that the frightening thing about
a white male god.
Oh, yeah, got to be male.
Yeah,
got to be male. In fact, what is really going to be happening, given this Congress, which is totally in the hands of absolutely the worst brand of Republicans ever, not a party I've ever been lovely involved with.
No, you've hated him for years.
Come on. All right. Yeah, that thing. Yes, and in fact, This is the lowest that the Republicans have ever gone. We have a Congress who will refuse to impeach the president.
Really? Do you think they've gone lower now than they did during the months and years after the September 11th attacks?
Well, now that's an interesting question. I would have to ponder it for a while, but yeah.
Okay.
Pondered it a while.
Right, pondered for a while. Yes,
that was enough
lower.
Pondering.
Lower even than
so bad
the fake war.
So bad.
Lower even than the naked capitalist plundering of occupied Iraq? Lower than that?
Well,
lower than the Patriot Act?
Well,
and the warrantless spying on Americans?
Well,
lower than Cheney?
Oh, well, maybe. Yeah, this is systemic. This is really, really a challenge to the possibility of the rule of law in the United States. And that's why it's so low.
Yeah, I think I would tend to agree.
Uh-huh.
I still don't think he's the worst president ever.
Do you think Trump's going to survive?
No, I don't think.
See,
he's
that's where
survive.
We disagree.
Yeah, that is where we disagree.
I think he's going to come out smelling like a Well, not like a rose.
Like a dung-covered rose?
Yeah, something right. like that. Takes fertilizer to make a rose grow, you know.
I don't think he's going to survive. I think this investigation is going to circle closer and closer to him, as we discussed a few minutes ago.
Well, I think that too.
And I think it's going to end with, in one of three ways. It's going to end with his resignation. That's possibility number one.
That's a possibility.
Two, his impeachment.
That's a possibility. I don't think that's likely.
And three, criminal indictment, and then some combination of resignation or impeachment or both.
Well, and I also think that the big question is, how soon will he fire the special counsel?
Well, that's the big question. Is he going to fire Mueller?
Well, the funny thing, and people may remember this from Nixon. Nixon essentially got the, he wanted the, I have a terrible cold, excuse me. He wanted the Attorney General to get rid of the special counsel. He wanted to clear everything away. Mm-hmm. The Attorney General refused. He fired the Attorney General. The new Attorney General, that is the Assistant Attorney General, refused. He fired him. Mm-hmm. It's called the Saturday Night Massacre.
Yeah.
And it went on and on and on until finally, I mean, the thing was just so bizarre. Finally, people like Barry Goldwater, see, there's no more Barry Goldwater. Barry Goldwater and others went to the White House and said, dude, quit. At which point Nixon, who was probably, certainly a lot smarter than Trump, decided to get the hell out with his mm-hmm. money intact, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Trump is not that smart, and Trump is not able to understand when things have come to a conclusion.
No.
So he's going to hang on. And what he's going to do, I'm going to guess, is he's going to try to fire Mueller, Robert Mueller. And I think he's going to keep on doing these sort of things. And what's really, to my mind, very, very sad and scary is that this Congress is so venal, so more interested in party and power than it is in the welfare of the United States of America, that it's going to just go on. And there's so many angry people, particularly residually angry, disappointed, missing the opportunities they perceive as their right among white men, that Trump could very well survive and get elected president for another four horrible years. That's what I think.
Yeah, it's possible. I'll grant you that's possible. I don't think that's
how it's
gonna,
possible.
I don't think that's how it's going to go.
How do you think it's going
to
go?
I think even if he manages to be in office when by the time the next election, presidential election, rolls around,
right?
I don't think that there's enough support to keep him there. You know, he already lost the popular vote the first time around. Right?
Well, yeah, no, it was a fake. We know it was all, right, it was all, right, right. It was all fake.
And that
Hillary.
That brings into question timing about how this will all unfold. Right now, there's clearly enough on the table to instigate impeachment proceedings against him already.
Oh,
right?
Easily.
But
easily.
That hasn't happened. Why? Because we're waiting on the moral rectitude of the House Republicans.
Ah!
Right. And we could both grow quite old before they will take any decisive ethical action.
It's like taking the temperature of a corpse and expecting it to be warm.
So if we want impeachment to happen, absent some new extraordinary revelations or some incredibly inappropriate act...
What could be more inappropriate than saying that his moral authority is so legitimate, his personage so legitimate that he can grab women by their intimate parts? What could be more?
Well, stay tuned. Who knows? My point is that unless something really extraordinary happens, there will be no move to impeach him from this Republican Congress.
Okay.
So if that's our end game, that's probably going to have to wait until after the 2018 elections. And after that new Congress takes its seats, and this is presuming, of course, that the House of Representatives flipped back to Democratic control.
Well, that would, and that also, apart from Democrats and Republicans, Democrats are almost a non-party in my mind. They are so weak.
Yeah.
They are not the Social Democratic Party of Franklin Delano
Roosevelt. No, of course
Delano
they're not. And of course they're not. I don't want to relitigate that now. We've been over that many, many times
show.
But I do think that they would find the backbone to begin impeachment proceedings if they controlled the Congress.
Well, you know, snakes have a backbone.
Yes, they do.
I just want to make that point.
Right. And you throw it up here with all the other relevant points.
No, and but, so we're going to talk about the environmental impacts that the president has already, negative impacts the president's already created. We're going to talk about the disgustingness of this administration. But mostly we're going to talk about, let's get rid of this clown.
Indeed. And I'm very interested to hear what our listeners have to say on a number of fronts. First of all, how do you think this is going to play out? Secondly, how do you think this fits into the longer arc of presidential scandal in the United States?
Pretty long arc.
Pretty long arc. And thirdly, if you either study such things or have researched this situation in particular, what happens if Trump fires Mueller? What happens then?
Well, Saturday Night Massacre.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm interested in people's gaming that out, how they think that will play
sure.
out. So 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Who's first? Chris, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Abe and Joe. Love you guys.
Thanks.
So I'm going to answer the second question. I have not lived on the planet long enough to know how this is going to play out. It'll be interesting to see. And I'm not really a scholar who studies these things, so I'm just going to sit back and watch. But in terms of, I want to be careful that we don't try to compare Trump to past presidents, but rather that we see his presidency as a continuum. You know, like the Supreme Court builds upon past precedent, right? And it further builds out precedent that we as citizens can then fall back on, and the legal system then falls back on. And so I think it's a good idea for us to not say that Trump is better or worse, but to see how he's actually used the office of the presidency and how he's built on past precedents. For example, FDR and the imperial presidency, right? Mm-hmm. He was the one who really shifted power into the executive branch as a means of trying to mitigate the effects of the Great Depression and mm-hmm. the financial collapse, right? But, you know, we historians look back on him as the one who saved capitalism, right? And mm-hmm. so we have to look at how he created an opening for somebody like Trump. Wait,
you're arguing FDR created an opening for someone like Trump?
Well, yeah, in the sense that he shifted the weight toward the executive branch. I mean,
okay.
Yeah, and that hasn't really gone back, right? Obama exploited it, Bush exploited it, and Trump is now exploiting it, right?
Let me just comment on that really briefly.
Sure.
The presidents have taken more or less power within the structure of the executive branch of the under the Constitution.
I actually don't see
that, given the arc that I understand to be American history, that FDR was all that much more powerful or taking that much more power. He definitely had the support of a very frightened Congress. I also don't see that we've really, you know, a lot of talk is made about the imperial presidency. I don't see that as a significant thing. What I do see is the failure of the representatives of the people, that is the Congress, to take their responsibility seriously and to stop playing the kind of games they play. But anyway, go ahead.
I do want to say, though, that, you know, and really the chief mechanism that FDR used, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, Joe, but the chief mechanism was the executive orders, right?
No.
And that was the means by which he created the Works Progress Administration, et cetera, right? And so...
I'm not sure that that's right. I actually think that there was a lot... Remember, we had a very frightened nation at that point. Nothing like this depression in a world where fascism was rising everywhere ever happened before.
As we do now.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, but it's different, but the same, but similar. At any rate, I believe it was not executive orders, except that Roosevelt did close the banks. That was his main big deal of that sort. But there was a lot of law passed, a lot of agencies created, and a lot of it, most of it, in fact, was coming directly out of the decisions that he initiated, but the Congress carried through on as law.
I got you. But again, to go back to kind of my broader idea is that, you know, like you know, we see Trump replaying these tropes that, that Nixon and then Reagan picked up with the law and order presidency, the war on drugs. And he's picked up those the same rhetoric, and he's used kind of the same approach, right?
In fact, those presidents, I don't agree with what they did, but what they did do was create law and money to fight, for example, to fight against drugs. Now, it didn't work very well and wasn't very well thought out. But this guy is all rhetorical and non. And he had this. What is the old expression from Texas? All hat and no cattle. The fact of the matter is that this president did nothing except urge a big advertising campaign to deal with the incredibly destructive drug. Epidemic.
Who,
yeah.
Who are you referring to? Which president are you referring to?
Trump.
Oh, okay. Right. Right, but what I'm saying is that the rhetoric there is that he's definitely in the corner of the more militarized policing, and
You know,
the origins of the war on drugs being a means of controlling the black community post civil rights and post black power movement, right?
Right, and also one would say that since this opioid epidemic is largely affecting the working class white community. There's a lot of reluctance to really treat it the way in which the problem of crack cocaine, for example, was treated.
Right. There's an interest convergence, right? Because it's middle and upper income white folks who are now being impacted by the drug epidemic. So now something has to be done about it. But it was okay when it was black and brown folks getting locked up, getting addicted.
Well, it was very useful to the control, actually, the control of black nationalism and other movements for justice.
Right. And then lastly, the Bush presidency is probably the ultimate in creating space for somebody like Trump with the Patriot Act, with the invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan in the wake of September 11th, with the, you know, the National Defense Authorization Act that allows for indefinite detention. That has been renewed by Obama and everybody. Right. So, but I just want to step back and say, is he better or worse? No, but he is a product of these past precedents that have allowed him to step in and to blow decorum off. And, you know, like a lot of what Obama was saying, like, well, it's just custom, and Trump doesn't really care about custom, right? And so we're realizing that maybe there aren't as many kind of protections against an undemocratic, autocratic, authoritarian leader as we thought there were, because every other president has just gone with decorum on so many things, and so now we're really seeing what tatters our democratic institutions are really in.
Okay.
But we can't say, I don't want to go and say that, you know, he was worse than Bush. I feel like Bush paved the way.
Okay,
it's a fascinating argument.
You're arguing it's a natural phenomenon of degradation. I want to give others an opportunity, and I really thank you for the call.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
231-8187. Who do we got?
Who's next? Barth, good morning.
Good morning. Welcome back, Abe.
Thank you.
We have missed you.
Wait a minute.
Oh, we like Joe, too.
Go ahead, man.
It's just good to have the counterpoint. Anyway, last caller, I think a lot of good points. The things that are being accelerated at this time and over the last 20 years, gerrymandering, shaping the legislative process to allow the party in power to stay in power, the militarization of the police, and you know, that just kind of being heaped upon, and then Trump's nudge nudge wink wink, you know, don't be so nice to those protesters, to all the cops, and to, you know, you need to treat people badly if they're outside of the bounds of what I believe is right. That's a big, big deal. It's not just the banality of, you know, the grasping of the whole Republican structure now. you know, where everybody is in it for themselves. They're trying to fill their pockets and their briefcases to overflowing because they know this can't last. I think that you're thinking about the future and saying that no one will impeach him. Maybe not, but I believe that even the rats are going to start recognizing that when the ship gets, you know, tilted too much and starts to take on water, that they can't stay with the status quo. And the tide is turning for another bad time.
Yeah, I was going to say the metaphors are getting mixed here, but they're all wet.
Well, they are all wet, and we're going to be wet, too, because the water is rising.
Okay, I think that completes the metaphor cycle.
Yes, I'll stop now. If things continue to deteriorate politically and legally for the Trump administration, he may, in fact, act desperately, as some of his predecessors have. And if he does that, I believe that a lot of the American public will be inflamed against his shenanigans, if not their underlying efforts. So I'm optimistic about him not carrying forward beyond one term, period, and maybe not even that long, although I'm not excited about the fallout that happens if he goes down and we get Pence or
well, I was going to say, you know,
whichever other criminal.
Pence is so, you should look at the Jane Mayer piece in the New Yorker to understand exactly what we face if Pence becomes president. I mean, it's creepy, creepy. But anyway, I want to give others an opportunity, and I appreciate your call.
Hey, thank you for the call.
Thanks a lot.
We have really smart callers. I really like that.
Well, it's true. They're smarter than we are, and I should quit. I'm so fed up and so angry and so disturbed by all of this. I want to go back to this thing, this article by Nicholas Kristof in the Sunday paper. Look, our children and you and everybody are being consistently poisoned by pesticides that should have been outlawed long ago, that are produced by Dow Chemical, that come out of the development of nerve gas in Nazi Germany. Let's be clear about this. And the Trump administration, the Obama administration, to their credit, tried to get rid of these pesticides. Really, really, really tried hard. We all thought it was going to happen, but no. These
gunk.
Yeah. This Nazi gunk is now in your bloodstream, in the bloodstreams of newborn babies, in everybody's lives. And this stuff is toxic to the brain. You can see it. If you get enough of it, you can see it destroying brain tissue. This is horrible stuff, and it should have been stopped a long time ago. And it was tried to be stopped by executive action by the last good president. And now this president has said, oh, no, Dow, go ahead and poison the people. It's okay. This is one of the many really good reasons why this man, this creepy, creepy clown, fascist clown, must go. Now, that's enough for me on that.
I want to hear more about why you're just so despondent and why you don't think there's any acceptable remedy to this situation.
Well, I have an overarching view of the history of the United States, which denies its exceptionalism,
okay,
and acknowledges its fundamental racism and ethnic what do you call it? Neo-Europeanism.
Yeah, as do I. But I'm not a pessimist the way you are.
Well, you're not as old as I am.
Oh, I see. So I've got that to look forward to.
You do.
Okay.
And I can guarantee that when you're my age, you will look back and say, oh, my God.
Okay. So I got to look forward to inevitable physical decline accompanied by an increasing...
Hey, I'm not declining. I just have a cold, for goodness sake.
Increasing cynicism until finally I'm barricaded in my house telling the kids to get off my lawn.
That sounds like a Clint Eastwood movie.
Oh, okay.
But no,
well, I just want to understand, you know, what's ahead of me here.
Well, it's helpful to realize that that once you have a better understanding of things, you can have real, honest, genuine, and this is that famous Catholic sin, despair.
Oh, you always lift me up, Joe. Coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 on Alternative Radio, Trita Parsi of the National Iranian American Council discusses Trump's dismissal of the Iran nuclear deal. At 10, Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11 on Stage and Studio, it's a special presentation of Peace, Love, and Soup with a Soup for the Spirit, celebrating Días de los Muertos. KBOO keeps you informed, and you can get involved. Go to kboo.fm and click on donate to become a member. It's so important.
It is. And don't do trick or treat.
Oh yeah, do
no, trick or treat. Don't give children candy.
Oh God, Joe, what's
don't
happened
do
to
bad.
You?
Well, I don't know, that's not happened
sad.
To me. It's a fact. This is a vast plot by the dental community to increase the number of cavities.
Oh my God.
No, not really.
Listeners,
But seriously, there are so many markers in our culture that bespeak unhealthiness and ill thought out planning and service to industry. It's time to start reviewing these things.
Indeed. Yeah, clearly the answer is to crush people's spirit by getting great dark side holiday we have left.
It's not like a good honest to God celebration of death or understanding of the visiting of the dead souls to us. Nothing like that. It's all nonsense. It's all bull, and I can't say the other part of that. It is in fact the second largest purchasing holiday in the United States is Halloween.
And
it's a terrible thing to see all these kids. When I first realized how bad it was when I suddenly saw poor kids rushing into middle class neighborhoods because the candy was better.
Well, yes. Of course.
Oh, yes, of course. Dentistry is not covered under the public health plans.
Oh. In case there is any joy left out there in the hearts of any of our listeners, I urge you to call and become part of this conversation because we need you. We need you badly right
so
now.
So what? You're asking for people who are going to say it's all right that Trump is president? What are you saying?
No, I'm asking for someone who will perhaps say Halloween's all right. I'll be willing to start with that.
I don't want to go to Halloween. It's just, I'm sorry I brought it up. It's my fault.
503-231.
Forget Halloween.
8187 is the number to call. You can also write to us at the Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AbeandJoe. And you can also use the Twitter machine at HonestAbe72. Let's go to the phones. Jimbo, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Keith, for your show. And yeah, I know both despair us difficult, but we just published a paper called The State's Rights Dissertation, and it does address the issue you just came up with about pesticides, whether the state has the right to enforce it, you know, without the federal government. I'll give you the citation. We could all take a look at it. It's at PDX Strider, PDX, STRYDER, at WordPress.com.
Okay.
And as I say, it just was published this last weekend and addresses a lot of issues about what folks can do within our constitutional framework to respond to the federal government.
That's useful. I really appreciate that. It's a very good point. I don't know. I'm not a constitutional attorney. This may be a surprise to everybody. No, I'm not even an attorney. But I can.
Our last president claimed to be a constitutional scholar. What happened with Guantanamo Bay?
Yeah, let's not go there. No, the fact of the matter is that everybody must do, this is really important, and I didn't want to let this show go without saying this. It is time for every kind of action to take this administration down. It is time, every legal action, it is time for everyone to be in the streets. It's also time for people to be writing to their congresspeople, visiting Congress, visiting various officials, making clear that what has happened here is not normal, that it is not just proto-fascism, it is fascism, and we need to be actively opposing it existentially and physically and really. And if we don't do that, our children and our children's children will curse us in our graves. That was a silence after that. I meant it too.
One of the points the dissertation makes is that our state militia apparatus could be used to go against that jail group that's holding the DACA people on the basis that they're bona fide and there's a state I mean, it's not a federal thing, so we should go in there and do a night raid on that dog.
Let's just understand that what you're talking about here is armed insurrection. That's a whole other thing.
Read the dissertation.
Okay, man. Thank you for the call.
Thanks for the call. I'm trying to read the dissertation, and I made it to the site, but there's nothing there. There's a heading for the post, but when you click on it, there's nothing.
Ooh.
So you might want to look at that, whoever put that up on the interwebs. 503-231-8187. Before we go back to the phones, I want to make one point on Mr. Papadopoulos. This is the...
Oh, I love Mr. Papadopoulos.
Do you know?
Oh, I do.
This was the campaign aide who was secretly arrested back in July.
And taken out of here's the thing. None of the Trump people knew that he was under arrest.
That was the point I was going to make.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
And that's not a coincidence that it happened this way.
No.
And I think that's...
Mueller is really clever.
Mueller is really clever, and he is... undaunted, unlikely to be intimidated by anything that Trump people can throw at him.
He's everything a lawman should be.
He's got a shiny tin star.
He's got a big hat.
And some boots. That's the fact that he was arrested and nobody knew about it, and nobody on the Trump campaign knows what Papadopoulos has said to the feds.
Right.
That's going to keep some people up at night. That's no accident. And that's some pretty astute legal gamesmanship on Mueller's part, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trump has trouble keeping up at night.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones. Annalisa, good morning.
Good morning. Halloween is great.
I agree.
I grew up in the Netherlands, of course, where we don't have Halloween. But last Saturday, I was invited, like every year, I'm invited to this family's party. And there were so many little kidlets. There was one little boy that was Roosevelt. Uniform and little glasses. It was great. And then tonight, we're having another really great party going door to door with a whole bunch of families together. And with my children, we sorted out some of the candies and kept the little Snicker bars and the little Tootsies. And the rest we threw out. And so they had some candy to eat once in a while.
Well, see, anyway, you're being a choosy mom.
So, anyway, because I cannot even wrap my brain around it anymore, especially expressing it in words about Trump, I wanted to say something about the sexual abuse and assaults on women. But Trump was, in this period, the first one where women came out. And if Harvey Weinstein has disappeared from... so far because of his sexual abuse and all the other people, and now Kevin Spacey came out, why is Trump not being arrested for it? That's my question. Because that seems to be forgotten, that he assaulted women.
Well, there hasn't, to be fair, as far as I know, there has not been a public complaint, or not even one that has been loud enough and effective enough to take him out.
Right.
Now, that may yet happen. That may yet happen, because we know there's a lot of things sitting out there. There's the famous P files out of Russia. All that stuff's just sitting out there somewhere.
Well, anyway, I have no words for this administration. And if it is possible to get him fired, then we will get worse, like you said before. And we need to start over with a whole new set of people.
Okay.
Anyway, happy Halloween.
Okay.
Same to you.
Happy Halloween to you. Take care. Bye-bye.
I think that the question she asked, why has Trump's overt misogyny not brought him down yet? I think there's two answers to that question. One is that there's a tendency amongst conservatives to circle the wagons and close ranks and excuse behavior when it's done by one of their own, that they would not hesitate to criticize and even attack in another. Secondly, Trump, his whole life, has never had to face any of the consequences of his foul actions.
Well, he did get sent to military school.
Yeah, I don't think it took.
Oh, I think it took. He loves the military.
Yeah, he loves war. Well, but he didn't enlist for Vietnam, though, did he?
He had bone spurs.
He had bone spurs.
Bone spurs.
Yeah. So that's why I think he has not been held to account, because he's never been held to account for anything.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, probably there's some woman out there who's thinking, gee, you know, I remember him at this party. And then, you know, I mean, the guy is slime. Yeah. We have slime for a president. And intellectually, he's close to slime, too. I mean, it's just, it's very bizarre. And as to Pence, you know, Pence's wife was furious when Trump made that comment about grabbing women. Because she is a serious, very conservative Christian woman.
Certainly.
And Pence is, I think, equally serious about all this stuff. That doesn't mean he isn't a sleazeball in many other ways, but he's an authentically fundamentalist Christian.
Well, indeed. But that comment didn't stop evangelical voters for turning out to him for Trump in record numbers.
Well.
You know, and we've said this many times about Trump voters. Maybe every Trump voter is not a racist or a misogynist, but they were certainly willing to hand the country over to one.
Yes.
So,
okay,
let's go back to the phones. John, good morning.
Oh, good morning, fellas. Let me give you a little note of optimism about the thing with Russia. First of all, the United States has always been subject to the influence of foreign governments. If you think back to Jefferson and Adams, you had the British and the French facing off. And then in the beginning of the 20th century, we basically had the Germans and the British facing off, and they both, all foreign countries are continually trying to influence other countries.
I don't know, though, that we have evidence of foreign power colluding with a presidential candidate to foil the election.
Just read the stuff that was written about Thomas Jefferson and the French Revolution. And
like what? Read, what specifically are you talking
read,
about?
And read the biography of Winston Churchill and how he hornswoggled Roosevelt into the war. I mean, basically, and it was good. In other words, most of us, the basic thing is that most of us agreed with the alliance with Great Britain. But in reality, we had almost gone to war with Britain over various things. And so there's always this influence. And I just want someone to tell me why it would be a bad thing for us to get along with the Russians.
Okay.
Well, I think that's...
I'll take that on.
Okay, and thank you for the call.
That's an important question you're raising. Let's be very clear here. First of all, there is no reason why we can't trade with or have intellectual discourse with or exchange art of various sorts, performing art and so on, with Russia. There's no reason why, in fact, we can't make all kinds of trade deals with Russia or China or any other country that has a very different and not very democratic form of government. The problem is that that the Russian government, as constituted today, under the dictatorship of a rich set of oligarchs, the leader of whom is a guy who used to be a secret policeman, Putin, that government is actually trying to make sure that it can gain control or at least powerful influence over American politics through non-legitimate means. And that cannot be tolerated. As to the question of whether or not, I mean, this is going back in history, as to whether or not Churchill hornswoggled Roosevelt or whatever, yeah, a lot of machinations and so on, but surely nobody that I know would not say, hey, you know, we didn't really have any choice about World War II. Probably we should have been in it earlier. But once the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, it was a foregone conclusion.
Right, and irrelevant to the larger conversation we're having today.
Regardless
of what Churchill may have done or said to influence Roosevelt's decision to end the war, I don't think anybody's saying that Churchill intervened in an American electoral process with a combination of nefarious means and an ongoing propaganda campaign to affect its outcome.
I don't think
anybody's saying that.
Yeah, I think this is unprecedented, and that's really important. And it's only possible because it's a modern electronic age. I mean, this whole process using bots, you know, and using the internet couldn't exist because there were no bots and no internet.
Yeah.
So the fact is, this is a modern problem in a modern situation where we have essentially the Russia without any ideology at all, you know, basically about capitalism and silencing its opposition within its own country. This ain't a good country. It ain't people that we need to be friends with except to make business deals with. And we have a president of the United States who would sell his own... We never hear about his mother, by the way. Did Trump have a mother?
Well, presumably.
At some point.
Unless he was grown in a vat. I don't know.
He could have been grown in a vat. He's very slimy.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, anyway. My point is that this ain't 1940. This ain't 1914. This ain't the time of Thomas Jefferson. This is now, the reality is a modern technological reality with enormous impacts, and it is really not just proto-fascist, but at this point devolving into true fascism.
All right, let's go to the phones. Daniel, good morning.
Good morning. I guess I'm going to follow up on your comments comparing this current situation to fascism. I'd like you to forgive me, please, because when debate, people start comparing their opponent to Hitler and the Nazis and so forth. It's typically just a shut down debate. Like, how can you possibly respond to that? It's like the question, when did you stop beating your wife? You know, there's no way to come back.
Yeah, that's true. Once you drop that F word, that the debate ends.
Yeah, yeah. But on the other hand, I think it's relevant. And here's what I'd like to discuss. As far as I can tell, the issues line up exactly on lines of race. When in Charlottesville, was it that they were chanting, "We will not be replaced"?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, as far as I can tell, I never understood why conservatives thought Obama was so divisive. I didn't see that. Of course, I'm liberal, but as far as I could tell, it lined up exactly on the fact that he was African American. That was the problem.
Hmm. Well, I agree with you in large part.
Yeah, I do as well.
So I've had to think about, I've been searching for this word, and I looked it up today. You'll get it immediately. Sonderkommando. The Jews that were forced to participate in the Holocaust. And so the way I see it is that the people who continue to support Trump are pretty much just want to be on the side that's winning. And are not for the most part ethically based conservatives, so the reality, how I see it, is that the risk is not the 0.1%; it's 50% of the people in the room. Those who are supporting in the face of evidence that it's not in the national interest. That's who we have to be worried about.
Okay.
What is hard for me to get to this point is that, all the discussions that we have are about how important it is that we should maintain dialogue and be reasonable, avoid personal attack.
Oh, I've never believed any of that. I think a good personal attack is excellent.
Well, that's just it, is that with all of this evidence, including this attempt to pick the pocket of the people in Puerto Rico and so forth over the electricity deal and so forth. Anyone who continues to support the Republican Party and the Trump administration apparently thinks that it's in their self-interest rather than in the national, for the good of the people as a whole.
Find it hard to argue with that.
Yeah. I heard an analysis that said, that people on either side of the political spectrum who just completely disregard or think that the other people on the other side are ill-informed and so forth and don't take their views into account, are dismissive of people on the other side, tend to be the ones that are the most active on their side of the issue, whether liberal or conservative. And so I've tried to kind of address that, and I go, reasonableness, and try to understand the other side of the point of view. And I've gotten to the point where I've decided, actually, they really are stupid. How else can I address, try to decide how to act, I suppose.
But I think we're gonna leave it there. with that conclusion.
I actually want to insert something. Let's let this guy go. He's a good guy. I don't want to diss him, but I got to say this. We're not talking about two sides, liberal and conservative. What we are talking about is fascism on one side and progressive politics on the other. That's the two sides. And as you move toward the middle, you get liberalism and you get conservatism in the conventional sense. Mm-hmm. The two sides, though, equally balanced, if indeed they can be called equally balanced, would be a progressive politic, which would probably be in the United States social democratic, and on the other side, fascism. Fascism. This is not a game. This is not a liberalistic conversation about whether we are conservative or liberal. No, it's way past that at this point.
All right. Well, I think we have a bomb for your need, Joe.
A bomb, B-A-L-M, or bomb, B-O-M-B?
No, B-A-L-M. John, okay. John writes into the Facebook page to say, to help Joe's battle against despair, I offer two quotes. The first is from Rabbi Tarfon, who says,
yeah,
it is not your responsibility to finish the work of perfecting the world, but you are not free to desist from it either.
Good point.
The second quote from Martin Luther, even if I knew that tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still plant my apple tree.
Well, that's sweet, but you know, Martin Luther
plant your shriveled little apples, Joe.
Martin Luther was a notorious anti-Semite, so let's not forget that.
Let's go back to the phones. Jane, good morning.
Hi, I'm sorry. Did I hear correctly if someone was serious about what's wrong with Russia, or was that a joke? That we should get along with Russia?
No, somebody seriously said that.
I was kind of
off the wall, and we let it go because it's sort of silly. But
well, I just wanted to tell people, do people not know what the Ukraine looks like?
Really?
They're at war, and the economy collapsed. Their money was toilet paper one day. Russia has a lot of problems, and I guess I'm just shocked that someone would... I thought it was kind of a joke, but if someone was serious, I just wanted to comment on that Russia has a lot of problems. And when the Boston bombing happened, I thought, oh my God, what's really going on? Those are Chechens. I just think it, you know, that's just a weird comment. And I just wanted to say that does someone really believe that? And then I just wanted to say that I really appreciate your show, that you listen to your listeners. And, you know, I also wanted to mention the name of the paperwork for the Boston Consulting Group and the Pentagon. Because, you know, people like Mitt Romney are still around, and Bill Hagerty, I think that's his name, his campaign finance manager is the ambassador to Japan, and I do listen occasionally to other, I mean, I actually don't really listen to this station pretty much at all.
Oh.
You're next to the other station, and I occasionally chime in. But I just thought I'd listen today, and I just... I thought I'd mention Boston Consulting Group and the Pentagon Papers about the war, because, you know, these are the big political groups in the war machine. Cerebus, that's a big name as well. A lot of people will recognize that. And there's still going to be all these other people around. And I think it's very disturbing what's going on. And just... thank you for your work and your patience with everyone. It's very hard to discuss these issues. So thank you. Have a great day.
Okay, well, thank you for the call.
Thanks a lot.
I appreciate
the
kind words.
That's reassuring to some degree. I'm sorry I'm filled with despair, since I think it is actually a sin. I am, though I don't believe in God. That's interesting. A sin, don't believe in God. I don't know. Anyway, I am, in fact, doubtful that this government, this current form of operation that we're seeing with the Republicans somehow dominating Congress because of the vast manipulations that are being done within constitutional frameworks about who can vote and all that, and voter suppression and gerrymandering and all that. I am doubtful that we can, within the construct of what's currently possible, make a change that will be adequate to the situation. The damage, and this is something I started with, and I really want to make it clear, the damage that Trump is doing to the environment will last for generations, even if we get him out right now. And we're not going to get him out right now. And who knows what a crazy person like him may do? Maybe he'll decide to distract us all with a nuclear war. That would work.
Yeah, that would certainly be distracting.
It would be very distracting. I'm already distracted by the thought. Listen, this is a very bad situation. This is a time when everybody should be, to the degree that they can possibly be, engaged in the political struggle. This isn't like Vietnam was bad. And yes, it was morally necessary for people to act against it. But this is beyond that. This is life in danger, world environment in danger. This guy, this fascist clown, has messed with things beyond what any human being should mess with, and he is out of control, and his finger, crazy man that he is on the nuclear bomb.
And he's dumb.
What?
He's dumb.
He's stupid.
We're running out of time here, but I do want to offer one more comment on the Russia situation. It was the opinion of a caller that it would be a good idea for us to have good relations with Russia. Speaking just for myself, I think that's a bad idea. Russia is a kleptocracy ruled by a dictator who has plundered the wealth of a nation to make him, by some estimates, the most wealthy individual in the world.
Really?
Yes. And I think his aspirations are to once again make Russia a great power in the great game that he thinks is still going on. Yeah, on the continuum of nations with whom we should have friendly relations, I wouldn't put Russia there.
Well, I would trade with Russia. I would exchange symphonies and such. I don't have problems with that sort of thing. I would certainly try to get along with Russia. I just don't think of them as our friends.
No. The last caller, or one of the last callers, was right. These are difficult things to talk about, and I do appreciate everybody taking the time to weigh in. These are indeed trying times, and it can be hard to see a way forward.
But I say, fight now or die soon. No, really, in the streets, on the Twitter, in the nation, in the world, at your congressman's office, everywhere, this is it. You have children, this is it. You have relatives, this is it. It's time, because it's not going to get better with this creepo as president.
Well, wow.
Fortunately, sorry.
I think Bob Mueller might offer us a way out.
Maybe.
I sincerely
hopefully,
hope that
I'm
that's
very
the
pleased
case.
With what he's done so far.
All right. Thanks, everyone. We'll talk to you next week.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Big Waters Falling Up Tour, Tuesday, November 14th at 8 p.m. at the Paris Theater in Portland. Portland locals Big Water will be closing out their Falling Up Tour, featuring special guest Danielle Betancourt on the violin. Big Water will also be sponsoring a feeding for houseless people through AMA Global Care and the Paris Theater. Again, that's Big Water's Falling Up Tour, Tuesday, November 14th at 8 p.m. at the Paris Theater, 6 Southwest 3rd Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.